You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So last week we started with an anointing service. And everybody that was here, we anointed them. And it's good to know that you're an anointed one. And we saw that even Stephen and Philip, who was just called to serve tables as they were faithful, that God used them for extraordinary things. Amen. Many people have started this year with New Year resolutions. Let me see who's got New Year resolutions. I hope those resolutions are realistic. Amen. Because many times what happened, people have unrealistic expectations of the new year. Things that they want to do that's just completely unrealistic, and you almost set yourself up for failure. People say Happy New Year because they want the past to be over, and your past is over in Christ Jesus. But what God wants a continuation of His goodness to manifest in your life from year to year. That you don't have to say, I just want this year to be over, but that you'll be ready for the next good year. When you set unrealistic expectations, you're setting yourself up for failure. And instead of having a lot of expectations that are often unrealistic, it's better just to have standards, high standards. Our lives should be based and lived according to this word. This word should be the standard for your life. Any standard in this word, you can live by. A matter of fact, an expectation can never exceed the word of God. The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. That's why I can have an expectation to be healed. But sometimes people have unrealistic expectations. Are you ready? Some people want to be a CEO of a company within a year. Start working. You haven't even worked for a CEO, but you want to be a CEO. You can say all things are possible and declare the word of God. It's still going to take 9 months for a baby to be born. Even if you confess, no, my baby's going to be born in 1 month. No, there's certain things that has to take place. You know where I see most unrealistic expectations? When it comes to relationships. He must look like this, walk like this. He's not going to walk, he glides. And when I hold his hand, we are gliding together on cloud nine. The way he smiles, it's that white light, bright smile. A sparkle, not like a diamond, but a shine, just white. If God had to send an angel from heaven, I don't know if it would qualify. Many people are going to be single for the rest of their lives, not because they're good or they're bad, they're not beautiful, they don't have a qualification, just because they have unrealistic expectations. And instead of having expectations, why don't you have standards? And remove the expectations and live according to the standards. Are you ready for the word of God? Are you ready to be challenged today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your tremendous grace. We thank you for your word, oh Father, that brings light and life. Open our hearts to receive it with meekness, that it can save our souls in this day, in Jesus' mighty name. Take your people from where they are to where you want them to be. Let them hear your voice upon my voice, oh Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Great stuff. Let's start. Proverbs 24, verse 3 to 4. The Living Bible says the following. It says, any enterprise is built upon wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Can I say that again? Any enterprise is built upon wise planning. Turn to the person next to you, say, wise planning. Your Bible might say a house is built through wisdom, but this is just another translation. But if you want to build, you need wise planning, You need common sense, and you need to look at the facts. Amen? So we're going to move from unrealistic expectations to standards in this year, so that you can finish strong and not disappointed. Can we start talking to the Christian single people? Can I talk to the single people first? Wise planning says, first finish your studies, then get married. Can I have an amen? First finish school. A matter of fact, the Bible says there's a time and season for everything. When you're at school, it's your time to study. Study. There will be lots of time. If you have a high school darling, that's fine. But it's a time to study. If you're going to study after school, finish those studies. Focus upon that. That's just wise planning. Amen? Common sense says, the person that you want to marry must be a Christian. Can I have an amen? Your expectation might be, I'm going to trust God. All things are possible for God. I'm going to pray this person is going to get saved. That might be your expectation. The Word of God is the standard, and it says, don't be unequally yoked. That's like praying for a rabbit to swim or a crocodile to climb a tree. Sometimes even how the person should look, walk, talk is going to be is so unrealistic. Then when people still have a dream, or somebody comes and gives a word, I had a dream, tall, dark, and handsome. He's going to walk in. I'm going to be sitting in the church. He's going to come. We're going to lift up our hands. Jesus, I love you. His little finger is going to touch my little finger. And no. No. Young people, God's word is the standard. Amen. Can I show you some standards? Can I show you some standards from the Word of God? Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 4. It says, select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men. So he can be strong, he can be healthy, and he can be good-looking. And what good-looking is for you might differ to a different person. Amen? So that's fine. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning and gifted with knowledge and good judgment and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and the literature of Babylon. So if we go by scripture, you can marry a good-looking person. Amen? If you're sitting next to your spouse, just look to them and say, you're looking good. Say to them, you are looking so biblically correct at me right now. Don't be so serious, people. Amen. Bible says they should be well-versed in every branch of learning. That simply means they have to be a hard worker. They must do their homework. Amen? So if you want to date somebody, make sure that they do their homework. Can I have one amen? Are you dating all the rebels that's not doing their homework? I know some of us were like that. We didn't do our homework, but then we got saved, amen, and we became faithful. Can I just see one hand? Some people that didn't do their homework that got saved, raise your hand. Yes, I can see you, amen. Gifted with knowledge. He knows what he is called for. He's got some direction. Amen? The fear of the Lord brings true knowledge. So you want somebody that fears God. The fear of the Lord is to hate sin, and I'll touch on it a little bit later. But he must have some direction. Not just want to sit at home and play video games. Amen, 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 amen. Amen? The Bible says he should have good judgment. Hebrews 5 verse 14 says, you should be able to discern between good and evil, to be able to discern between what is right and wrong. You don't want somebody that's going to say, oh, that might be wrong for you, but that's right for me. No. You want somebody that makes this the standard for their lives. Amen? You must be able to serve in the palace. For me, that's just, you must have a heart to serve in God's house. Willingness to serve. I'm not saying he must be an usher. Don't go now and say, if you're not an usher, I'm not interested in you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I have willingness and a heart to serve. Amen? Train these men. He must be teachable. The person that you're going to marry must be teachable. They cannot have an attitude and say, this is me, take it or leave it. Leave it. I'm telling you now, leave it. Because if they're not prepared to change, walk away. Because this whole gospel is about changing you from glory to glory, strength to strength, into the image of God. If you look at Daniel 1 verse 8, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. You want somebody that does not want to defile himself. Can I have an amen, young people? Even when it's presented to him, the king's delicacies were presented to him. If you go to Daniel 6 verse 3, the Bible talks about he had an excellent spirit. Amen? See excellence in the person. If you go to verse 16, the king said, the God whom you serve continually. Somebody that serves Jesus the whole time. Not occasionally. Am I talking to the right people here? Can you see that standards are very high in the Word of God? And if you can live by these standards, your life will never be the same. Can I ask you something? Who of you have an expectation to grow closer to Jesus in this year? Want to grow closer to Jesus? Do you know what that simply means? You know what's the standard to grow closer to Jesus? What happens when a tree wants to grow higher? The roots have to go deeper. That means your roots will have to go deeper. It's not all up to God. You have your part to play. Matthew 13 verse 6. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Can I ask you the question? Was the problem the sun or was the problem the root? The roots. Our roots represent our spiritual life. Our roots represent our spiritual life. Can I ask you a question straight, just direct? Is the only time you pray when it's in a prayer meeting at church? Or do you pray when you're on your own in a secret place with God? Is the only time you worship when you come to church? Or do you worship God during the week? Is the only time you read Bible scripture when you see it there on the screen on a Sunday? Or do you open your Bible during the week to read? Because if you want to grow closer to God, those roots will have to grow downwardly. You cannot just live a life where people see you outwardly. Can I tell you, God is a God of secrets. God loves secrets. Who of you love secrets? Let me see. Who of you like to figure out secrets? You know, God is a God of secrets. That which you do in secret, He will reward you openly. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's what the Bible says. How many secret prayers do you pray that nobody knows about? Going before, laying before God, asking Him, God, save my family. Save this nation. Bless the church. Bless my boss. God values secret. A matter of fact, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. If you want to know God's secrets, if you know what God is up to, what God is busy with, the secret of the Lord is revealed to those who fear Him. That's not being scared of God. The fear of the Lord is to hate sin. So if you want to know more of what God is doing, guess what? everything which is not pleasing to God, you're going to have to work that out of your life. Because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Can I have one amen? I hope I'm speaking to your heart here today. Because God has challenged me as a church for us to go to a new level spiritually before Him. Amen? If you want your roots to grow downward, why is it important for your roots to go downward? Because the root of the righteous cannot be moved. When you are born again, born of God, and the righteousness of God is in your heart, nothing will shake you. Go to Jeremiah 17, verse 7 quickly. Let me just show you. Look at this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Verse 8. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Who's that water? That rivers of living waters, Jesus himself, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. When the scorching sun comes, he will not fear because he's rooted in God. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will he cease yielding fruit. Family, when you allow your roots to grow down, oh my God, there's fruit upwardly. One of the ways is by reading your Bible. Amen? We're starting tomorrow. 8-week program. 8 weeks to read through your Bible. You know what that means? 20 chapters a day. You know what happens in your spirit, man? That root goes. And suddenly you walk with this heat. You say, I know all things are possible. You say, give thanks to God in everything. I know you're in control, Lord. You're busy perfecting everything concerning me. And you know God is your source. And doesn't matter what comes your way, God is leading you and perfecting you and causing the light of His favor to shine upon all your ways. But it's because we're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. When the scorching sun comes, we start to blaspheme God. You say, God, oh, why God allowing the sun to burn me like this? But God says, get the root right. Have your part to play. If you want to be a Christian, then be a Christian. Am I talking to the right people here? We have all these excuses. Who wants to run for God this year? Let me see. You want to run for God? Can I tell you what the standard is? Not your expectation. Your expectation is, I want to run for God. You know what the expectation is? I want to run for God. It's going to be easy. No, no, no. You know what the Bible says? If you want to run for God, lay aside every weight, every sin, everything that ensnares you so easily that you may run. Can I just give it to you in plain English? Stop your nonsense and run for God. The stupid excuses not for running, lay it aside. That simple excuse that keeps you away from being in church on a Sunday, lay it aside. That simple excuse for not reading your Bible, lay it aside. I'm not even talking about the big things. You know, as I was getting ready with this sermon, and I said, God, I want to run. I read this scripture in the book of Samuel. I pray for you. I have special prayers written down for the church. Church covering prayers. Where I pray every kind of prayer. Declarations, binding, loosing, everything. But when I read the scripture, I repented. 1 Samuel 12 verse 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Family, listen to me. If we're not praying the way that we should, it's sin. Ana, but I will teach you the good and the right way. By the grace of God, that is my commitment. To pray for you, not to sin by ceasing to pray for you, and to teach you the right and good way. That's the standard. That's the standard. Somehow I feel the standard is much higher sometimes than the expectation. Turn to the person next to you and say, drop the expectations. Hold on to the standards. Who of you want to do good in 2026? Oh my God, you know what's the standard when it comes to doing good? You know what's the standard when it comes to doing good? The Bible says, he who knows to do good and does not do it, it's sin. Turn to the person and you say, that's a high standard. So in other words, if I know I should do good and I don't, it's sin. Sin is the one thing that can separate you from God. Ain't no. So if I can close with this, let's remove all unrealistic expectations in 2026. Knowing that God has anointed us and God has called us, and then when we are faithful with the small things, He'll do the big things in us and through us. Can I tell you something? Instead of telling God and saying, this is all my expectations, I want you to do this and this and this and this, why don't we go to the Word of God and say, okay, Lord, what is your expectation of me? Can I have one amen? You know, we've preaching a gospel where we tell God what to do, but God is still God. Can I have one amen? Son of David, have mercy on me. Because if God is challenging me in this way, He's busy preparing His church. What does Micah 6 verse 8 say? Here's one of the standards. If we can just live by this, we'll have a better 2026. Will you go and memorize the scripture? Micah 6 verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly? Then to the person next you say, do justly. And to love kindness and mercy. Oh my God. Let's be kind to one another. Let's show mercy towards one another. And to humble yourself and walk humbly with your God. Here's the key. When you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, what can happen? God can draw close to you. When you humble yourself, you can resist the devil. But when there's pride and arrogance, what happened to Lucifer? What happened to them? It got kicked out of heaven. So if you want to draw closer to God in 2026, humble yourself and walk humbly with your God. That means in humility and sincerity, we receive the Word of God and make this the standard for our lives. Let me confess something. You know, when you start a year, I often just go and pray. Then I pray about things. And sometimes we can bring things before God. Am I talking to the right people? You know, when you've had a disagreement, say, with your wife, we can very easily as men go and want to talk to God about our wives or your children or the church or your work or your boss, whatever. Am I talking to the right people here? So this year, I said, God, I'm not going to talk to you about anything. Nor am I going to tell you what needs to change in anything. I said, but what I want, God, I want to ask you for my heart to be soft like what it was when I got saved. What did David say in Psalm 51? Behold, you desire truth in the inner being. Make me therefore to know wisdom in my innermost heart. In your heart of hearts. I said, God, I want you to have the rightful place. Because I know, it doesn't matter if a pastor upsets me, or my wife upsets me, or my children upset me. If I have a soft heart, I can respond with kindness and softness. Listen to me. Many have got unrealistic expectations of their spouses, of their children, of the church, of leadership. Unrealistic expectations. Some men, listen to me. You've become bitter towards your wives. And all you need is a soft heart and it will get better. But if the expectation is she must change, then you cannot behave like Jesus and serve her the way that Jesus serves the church. That's the standard. Not the expectation she must submit. Ooh, touched a sensitive nerve. Listen to me. If we're going to be the head of the home and the priest, then we take responsibility. Then it's my heart. If I give Jesus the rightful place in my heart, everything else will sort out. When my life is centered around Christ Jesus, I can say with all confidence, the best is yet to come. But when my life is not centered around Christ Jesus, and it's centered around myself, then I want to complain to God about my wife, my work, my boss, my children. I want to tell God, if you just change him like this, it will be better. Rebuke them like this. Sort them out like this. I said, God, just make my heart soft, soft, soft. Restore the joy of your salvation when I just got saved. And that's been my prayer. And that's the standard. A soft heart, like Jesus' heart is soft towards you. Not, God, what needs to change in my life? If my heart is soft, I've changed. When you give Jesus the rightful place in your heart, listen to me. This is Christianity. Serving is not something I do. It's who I've become. Because the greatest servant, Jesus Christ, lives on the inside of me. Worship is not something I do. It's who I've become, a worshiper. Because the Spirit of Christ lives on the inside of me and I can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Holiness is not something you do. It's who you've become. Because He who knew no sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Living a life for Christ is not just something we do. It's who we've become because we surrender our lives, our hearts to Him. And when you make this word the standard, everything will change. Oh, my word. Because this word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And when you go in humility and sincerity and you say, Lord, your standard, guess what it will do? It will discern the intents and the thoughts of your heart. And it will show you. If I'm not talking to Philip anymore, the Bible will show me, you're bitter. Go make right. You're offended. Go make right. But when you don't allow this into your heart, it cannot save your soul. I'm closing with this last quotable quote. When you take care of the depth of your relationship with Jesus, He will take care of the width of your success. Because the Bible says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. When you make God's word the standard for your life, there won't be disappointments in this year. But when you have unrealistic expectations, you are setting yourself up for failure. This word cannot fail without God failing, and God can never fail. Sela.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.